Welcome to Mount Pleasant Methodist Church. This is from our January 4th, 2026 sermon.
Here's the word of God for the people of God from the Gospels, from Matthew, the second chapter. The story of the wise men. And after Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea, during the time of King Herod, Magi from the east came to Jerusalem and asked, "Where is the one who has been born King of the Jews? We saw his star when it rose and have come to worship him." And when King Herod heard this, he was disturbed, and all Jerusalem with him. And when he had called together all the people's chief priests and teachers of the law, he asked them where the Messiah was to be born. "In Bethlehem in Judea," they replied, "for this is what the prophet has written. But you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah. For out of you will come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel." Then Herod called the Magi secretly and found out from them the exact time the star had appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem and said, "Go and search carefully for the child. As soon as you find him, report to me so that I too may go and worship him." After they had heard the king, they went on their way, and the star that they had seen when it rose ahead of them until it stopped over the place where the child was. And when they saw the star, they were overjoyed. On coming to the house, they saw the child with his mother Mary, and they bowed down and worshiped him. And then they opened their treasures and presented him with gifts of gold and frankincense and myrrh. And having been warned in a dream not to go back to Herod, they returned to their country by another route. This is the word of God for the people of God. Well, I started the sermon early because I started with the title of the sermon in the conversation with the children this morning, and I kind of want to continue that. But I do remember a Christmas. This Christmas was different for us because everybody kind of came in our direction. We had our daughter Rebecca and her family came down from Pittsburgh and drove down. They were here right after Christmas, and then during Christmas we were in New Orleans, and that was a close trip, not a long trip at all. And then we were with our other children, our Bay St. Louis children, a lot of the times during Christmas. So we didn't do what we did. But by remembering, I was looking back as I was working on the sermon this week, and I was remembering a Christmas. And in fact, I think it was the Christmas at the end of COVID. Does anybody remember that Christmas, how things were? And maybe y'all were still shut down to a degree here, but we were sort of shut down in Starkville and the church we're in. So we packed up Christmas and made about three or four different trips, and all of them were pretty long trips. They were further than Hollandale, by the way. They were a long way away. And I remember thinking as I made those trips, have we got everything we need? Have we got all that we need? Have we got all the gifts that we bought? Did we forget anything? Of course, my daddy had the famous line, and his line was, "If we forgot it, we'll buy it when we get there." You know, and of course, that some of you think, well, that's not a good way to plan. So I'm planning, have we got everything? Do we have everything we need? And then begin to think about, okay, have we got enough money? Have we got enough cash in case the credit card machines aren't working on the gas pumps? And that sort of, those are the kind of things I think about. And so we're thinking about all that. And I'm thinking to myself as I'm working on this sermon, I wonder what questions the wise men had. And maybe theirs were different. Maybe theirs were something like this. Is this really necessary to make this trip? I mean, we see the star. We know it signifies something. We've seen thousands of stars. In fact, by the way, the very definition of a wise man or a magi was that they were stargazers. They were not astrologers in the way we think of astrology. They were more astronomers, and the kings or the rulers or people who had the money to pay them would say, "Tell me what you see in the stars. What does it mean as you look at the stars? What are these comets and what are these things that are falling from the sky, these falling stars? What do they mean? And what do the stars' movement mean?" They were interpreters of the stars. So naturally, when they saw a star and they saw the star of Bethlehem, but thank you, Barbara, for playing that. It made me want to put on an Emmy Lou Harris singing Beautiful Star of Bethlehem. And if you've not heard that, you go home and listen to that today and you will worship. I promise you, you will. It was Lynette's daddy's favorite gospel song, and they sang it at his funeral, thank goodness, and it was beautifully done. But wonder what they were thinking when they were looking at this extraordinary celestial event and what questions they had about. The first question they had is, what does it mean? Because they'd never seen anything like it. What does it mean? And so the meaning of things is what drives us to do things. Did you know that? We root for sports teams because they have meaning. You talk about something sad. How many of you are Saints fans, by the way? Any Saints fans in here, a few of you? Do you realize if the Saints had won one more game today, they'd be playing to go to the playoffs? Somebody say amen. Is that not unreal? As bad as they've been this year, now finishing strong. But meaning exerts a lot of power over us. We give meaning to things, and we'll do things that have meaning to us. Amen? They looked at the star and they said, there must be some significant meaning to this event. In fact, here's what they, on the trip or before they left, somewhere between their leaving and arriving in Jerusalem, and by the way, they arrived in Jerusalem first, it says, somewhere between leaving and arriving at their destination, they implied that the meaning of this celestial event, this star in the heavens, was that a new king had been born in Israel. Now, were they right? Yes. Were they off a little bit? Yes. By the way, no one is perfect in their reading of interpreting what's going on in the world. And anybody that tells you they are, you run away from them pretty fast. But they looked and they said, let's follow that. Let's see where it leads us. And it led them, they thought, to Jerusalem. And they went to Herod and they said to Herod in Jerusalem, we've come to worship the king of the Jews. And of course, this is when Herod's paranoia and rage and his questions begin to pop up. What does this mean? That people from far in the east, people who look at stars for a living, people who get paid great sums of money, by the way, that's where they got all of their wealth from. They think this means something. And so he asked questions. Well, tell me where it is that you think this is. And when you find this star and what's underneath it, this child, you tell me that I might come and worship him. By the way, those are the most ironic and paradoxical words ever spoken in the scripture. He has no intention of doing that. We read last week what his intent was. To get rid of the threat. So let me just throw this out today. It's a long way, and there were a lot of questions, but somehow they, through the star, said this thing means something, and it means something that motivates us to do something. Kind of like when you committed to become part of the church, or when you accepted Christ as your Lord and Savior, when you made a decision to follow Jesus, whenever that was, and I'm using language that we're used to hearing, or whenever you literally came to the place where you said, you know what, the meaning of life is Jesus. The purpose in life is Jesus. The reason to make this trip is Jesus. Most of us will do just about anything for our children or grandchildren, amen? Just about, I said. Notice I said that. We'll go just about anywhere to see them play soccer or dance. We do that. We'll do anything to make sure we're there and that they know we're present and supporting them and with them. They give meaning to our life, and so we're going to find our purpose in that. And that's what these wise men are telling us today. They're saying we're willing to go on a trip in which we don't know the full meaning yet of what it means, but we're willing to try it out because we know it means something, and it means something great. In fact, it may even change our understanding of the meaning of life. What about that? So the Magi are led by the star. they end up in Jerusalem. And I often think about this, and I think about the creed we just read, and the creed that talks about God created and God made us, and then God provided for our salvation, and then God sent His Holy Spirit so we would never be alone, and literally promises us that when one day He'll come back to claim us again as His very own. The wise men made the trip of life because they found in the star a sign that the meaning of life had changed. We come to this church on Sunday morning because we think there's important things that we can do together to talk about and sing about and pray about in terms of the meaning of our life and its purpose in our life. And you see, here's where they end up. They don't end up in Jerusalem. That's a little bit of an error. That's a little bit of a misread of the star and its location. In fact, it's a natural misread because they thought that something so great must happen. It surely happened in the capital city. It didn't happen in Van Cleve. It surely must have happened in Ocean Springs or maybe Biloxi or maybe down on the beach somewhere. Surely it happened over Norton, and that was their mistake. Their mistake was interpreting that great things must happen in a great place. And lo and behold, it happened in little Bethlehem. So they leave Jerusalem. They follow the star. Oh, beautiful star of Bethlehem, shine on. They find Jesus with His mother, and immediately it says they kneel down and worship. Now, it's interesting to me. They had a long trip, and they had a long time to think about what they might be going to find at the end of the trip. But here's what's wonderful for us today. We don't really have to do a lot of preparation when the meaning of life changes for us. We don't have to really ask the question when we come and are confronted by the Son of God coming into the world to save us from our sins. We don't really have to think much because we ought to immediately come to church on Sunday morning and we bow and we worship Him. And then the real question is, what happens next? Well, the next thing is they took an offering. Oh my goodness. They brought their gifts. Now, I've studied this a lot, and I want to tell you, I really believe this. They had gold and frankincense and myrrh, and there's all sorts of great, wonderful sermons that you'll hear preachers preach about the meaning of the gold, the most valuable thing, and the meaning of the frankincense, the sweet aroma, and the myrrh, of course, is what you buried someone with, meaning presaging the sacrificial death of Jesus. And those are all wonderful sermons, but here's what they did. They brought what they would normally have carried to present. They brought the most valuable stuff they had. Did you bring your best stuff today for Jesus? Now, let me pause for a second. It's okay if you didn't, because not every Sunday is my best stuff on display. And today may be one of those days. But can I tell you something? Sometimes we bring our worst stuff to Jesus, because we understand that Jesus will take whatever we can bring. He wants us to bring our very best. He wants us to bring, here's what He wants us to bring. He wants us to bring everything we have. That's why we came this morning. We saw a star. We heard a sign. We saw the sign. We knew at 9:30 there'd be worship here. And we knew that because of that, two or more would be present and Jesus would be there. And so we got up and we brought our best or our worst or something in between, and we brought it all and we said, here it is. In fact, I believe the wise men in any caravan they would have been in would have had gold and frankincense and myrrh. They'd have had it to trade the gold, the frankincense to bring a sweet aroma, and the myrrh in case something unforeseen happened and one of them died. They were prepared to bring everything in their life all the way to their death to Jesus. Now, you probably figured out where I'm going with this. When you gave yourself to Jesus, were you prepared to give everything to Him? We've been talking about it. We even have a group called the Discipleship Group because we want you to know that that's a process that goes on and on and on. In fact, I think the wise men are a good example of what discipleship means, is that we come, we find Jesus, and when we find him, we bring him our best, or we bring him what we have, or we bring him all we have. We bring him our most valuable. We bring him our ordinary. We bring him stuff that's good for life and good in death. So they came. And although they were off a little bit at first, they finally found Jesus. That sounds like some of us, doesn't it? That sound like you a little bit? That maybe at some point you thought you were on track to find Jesus, and when you got there, you weren't quite ready to kneel and to bow and to surrender yourself to him, and so it took you a while, and maybe you hesitated, and maybe you stood back from the manger and you said, I'm not quite ready to do that. But you see, that's what Jesus does. That's what the star does. That's what the Holy Spirit does. It pulls us and draws us as those wise men, even with our questions, even with our not best foot forward. Jesus says, come and worship and bring your gifts. But here's the really important thing today. These, by the way, it could have been more than three. There were three gifts. We don't know that there were three. There could have been many. There could have been an entire caravan. There could have been an entire village of wise men just waiting for the star to pop up, just anticipating that God was going to do something. And even though it was a God far away from them, they made the journey because they thought it worth it. They thought that the new meaning to life had arrived in the world. And they were right. The new meaning and purpose and life has come into the world, that you might have life, abundant, eternal, forever. So here's what happens when we bring our gifts, we have church, we bring our offering, we come to church and we proclaim Jesus and we worship him and we bow before him and we bow our heads in prayer and we sing praises to him. Here's the part I love the best. It says, when the Magi leave Bethlehem, it says that they did not return home the same way they came. I hope, when I was in seminary, I heard this phrase, and it was a professor named Jim Hopewell, an Episcopal priest, in fact, who taught the class on basic introduction to being a preacher, I think it was called. And he taught the class, and he used to tell me things like, never tell somebody on an airline flight you're a preacher right off the bat. They'll get up and get their seat moved if you tell them that. He said, I always wait till the end and do that. I practiced that with my friend several weeks ago on the flight back from my aunt's funeral. But Jim Hopewell had a brain tumor at the time. Nobody knew it. We didn't know it at the start of that semester. But he had a brain tumor. I remember it was the last class he really taught fully. He was not able to teach after that much. In fact, died a couple of years later. But I remember him standing up one day right after he discovered that he had a brain tumor, and he said this to us. He said, the most important thing you will ever do in your life is to present people Jesus so that their life changes. Now, did you hear what I said? The most important thing you will ever do is to present Jesus so that their life changes. The Magi met Jesus and saw Jesus and had remembered the speech from Herod, let me know so I can go worship him. God working in all of that mix through his prevenient and justifying grace said to them, wait a minute. This is the new meaning to life. This is the new purpose in life. This is the reason for the star. This is the reason for all the stars in the heavens and all of creation to cry out his glory. This is the purpose for which you've been gazing at the stars, for which people have been paying you for all your life, and you have found it. You can't leave here the same way you came. What about us? The Magi got there and they became different because they had seen Jesus. And they had worshiped Jesus. And they had given everything they had to Jesus. And that changed them. It changes us. What about us? When we encounter Jesus Christ, aren't our lives changed forever? surely when we first encounter Christ, when we're baptized, our lives are forever changed, whether it was at camp meeting or here at the church or at some other congregation, whether it was in the deep water of the creek somewhere or sprinkled with the waters or poured over with the waters of baptism. It doesn't matter where it was. You see, when we meet Jesus and we discover who Jesus is, that the new meaning and purpose of life has arrived and all the stars now are aligned perfectly for the rest of creation, then we need to change. You see, we're now new citizens of a new kingdom, and our lives are forever changed. And the roads that we ought to take now ought to be different than they were before we met Jesus. We've heard that all our lives, haven't we? Well, when you accept Jesus Christ, your life will change. Well, it does. It does if you've met Jesus and you recognize what He is, that your sins are forgiven. Your souls are now nurtured with the Word and Sacrament. Your priorities are rearranged. Someone said it this way. We are changed whenever we spend time in the house of the Lord with God's people. Amen. Jim Hopewell was right. And he later said this, he said, so you ought to preach so that people are changed. You ought to pray that so people are changed. You ought to visit in homes so that people are changed. You ought to go to volleyball games and softball games so people are changed. You ought to get out and kneel down with the children and play with them on Sunday morning because people's lives will be changed. You ought to smile because people will be changed. Because you've met Jesus and you've been changed, they can be changed. Church, that's it. That's our agenda for 2026. We've seen the star. We went to Jerusalem. We were wrong. We found Him in Bethlehem, and we left by a different road. If I loved any of my, any teachers here, by the way, today? Anybody? Alicia is. Connie's not here teaching. Anybody have a favorite teacher in school? Did she change you? I had so many that tried to change you. I had Miss Threlkill at Forest Hill in the 10th or 11th grade, and she'd stick a ruler down my back so I'd sit up straight. Well, that changed me all right. I hate yardsticks. Lynette bought 2 yardsticks for our children for Christmas just so they'd have something old-timey, and I would just cringe every time I saw those yardsticks. But I had a teacher, I've talked about her before, my senior year of high school, and she introduced me to a guy named T.S. Eliot. She came to me one day and she leaned down and she said, now Ronnie, she said, I know you're the only person in this class that will really appreciate this. She said, and this is what she said exactly. She said, none of these other rednecks here at Northside are going to appreciate this, but you'll appreciate it. And you go read this. This is a Christmas story. It was a guy named T.S. Eliot, and he wrote about the gift of the Magi. Here's what he said. He said, were we led all the way for birth or for death? There was a birth, certainly. We had evidence, and no doubt there was swaddling clothes and a newborn baby and a mother. I had seen his birth, Eliot wrote, and death, but they had thought they were different. This birth was hard, and it was a bitter agony for us, like death, our death. Listen to those words. But we return to our places, these kingdoms, but no longer at ease here in the old dispensation with an alien people clutching their gods. I should be glad of another death. Thank you, Miss Hard. You didn't know it. You gave me a sermon every Epiphany for the next 40-something years. You see, is it... a birth or a death when we encounter the Christ child? Is Christmas and Epiphany really about a birth or is it about a death? After the Magi encountered the Christ child and worshiped Him, they went home by another road. Their lives forever changed. The old man had passed away. Behold, the new man had come. In a very real part, and in a very real way, part of them died at the end of that journey. But isn't that true for us? when we really meet Christ, when we look into the eyes of that little baby and we realize that that little baby is going to die one day for our sins and rise again so that we not ever need fear death again. When we see all that, are our lives changed? Have we put to death the old man and taken on the new man in Christ? This is a big deal. Three or more wise men with gifts that they kept all the time for their caravans find their way to Jesus, and when they find Jesus, they found more than they bargained for. And that's true for us. We don't just find the baby in a manger. We don't just find somebody to worship gifts to and kneel occasionally for. We find someone whose life has changed our life and whose death has given us new life. And they went home differently. My prayer for you this morning is that having met the living Christ here this morning again, as we do every Sunday, by the way, it's no different. You say, well, that sermon was a lot better than the one last week or the one before. Let me say this. The living Christ is still here. And my prayer for you today is that in this new year, as we begin a new year together, nobody knows what holds. Nobody knows what journeys we'll be on. Nobody knows how it will come to an end in December of this coming year. But we know this, whatever this year takes, Jesus will be with us all along the way. We found Him. We have worshiped Him. And now we travel on a new way with Him. And God's people said, let's pray. Lord, as we travel this new year together, may the one who created the stars and gave us His only Son bless us and keep us. May His face shine upon us with grace and mercy. May He look upon us with favor, and Lord, may He give us peace. And may we go home differently this very day. In the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, and God's people said,
thank you for joining us today at Mount Pleasant Methodist Church in Van Cleve, Mississippi. If you enjoyed our sermons today, please like, subscribe, and share.